I would like to read two portions of Scripture first. Will you please turn to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 1. We read from verse 15 through verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. But for this reason mercy was shown me, that in me the first, Jesus Christ might display the whole long suffering for a delineation of those about to believe on him to life eternal. Now to the King of the ages, the incorruptible, invisible, only God, honor and glory to the ages of ages. Amen. And please turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We read from verse 14 through verse 20. For the love of the Christ constrains us, having judged this, that one died for all, that all have died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live to themselves, but to him who died for them and has been raised, so that we henceforth know no one according to flesh. But if even we have known Christ according to flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. For if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of the God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and given to us the ministry of that reconciliation. How that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not reckoning to them their offenses, and putting in us the word of that reconciliation. We are ambassadors, therefore, for Christ, God, as it were, beseeching by us, we entreat for Christ, be reconciled to God. I was asked to give my testimony. I was told that by giving my testimony, that you may know me. Now I will be very glad to give my testimony. But I don't want you to know me, because who am I? Nothing but a sinner. In me, that is, in my flesh, there is no good. So it is better that you don't know me. But I do want you to know my Lord, my Savior. He is the one who saves me. He is the one who calls me, and he is the one whom I serve. Of course, I cannot give you all my testimony. Living to such a long age, if I give my whole testimony, you won't be able to go home. So I will just begin with something. Now, I was born to a Christian family. It was unusual, because I really came from a big family, four generations, living under one roof. It was during the Qing Dynasty. My father was the first one who came to the Lord. because my grandfather was in construction business. And when a missionary came to Shanghai, they opened up a school. So my grandfather sent my father, who was the eldest son, to that school to learn English. The reason is that he may help him to do business with foreigners. That's how my father went to that mission school. And while he was studying there, the principal, a lady from Virginia, he led my father to the Lord. So when my father told my grandparents that he had believed in Christ Jesus, my grandfather felt very much ashamed. But it was because in the early days, only those poor people, rice Christian, trying to get some help from the missionaries, they believe. So my grandfather decided to cut him off from all connection with missionaries, and then he would be all right. But my father's faith was real. So my grandfather decided to apprentice him out. Now, you know, in the old days, you don't have school like today. If you want to learn a trade, you are apprenticed to your master. You will leave home, stay with your master, become a part of your master's family, serve them, and gradually learn the skill. So by that, my father could be cut off completely from the missionaries. He had already signed a contract. The next day he was to send my father to his master. But that night, neither my grandfather nor by my father nor by my grandmother slept. Of course my father was praying. The missionaries were praying for him. And after midnight, my grandmother softened, saying, let him go to school. So that's how my father finished mission school. But when he wanted to go to college, my grandfather refused to support him. So he went to college, half work, half study. He spent 8 years in getting his degree. And he was the only one who graduated from that university's seminary. The only one. So when I was born to a Christian family. Thank God for that. My father loved the Lord. He had altogether 7 children. And every evening, before supper, he would gather the whole family together in the sitting room. And there he would read from a big Bible. And after he read, we would all kneel down and he would lead us in prayer. That was how I was grown up. From my childhood, I studied in mission school. From kindergarten up to college. When I was in high school, it was during the time that the student body must attend the Sunday service. It was part of the school curriculum. And if you missed that, you will be punished. So on Sunday morning, the whole school will march into the church building. We occupied a third of that big church building. And my father was the pastor there. I was the pastor's son. But like all other schoolmates, we hid novels behind the big hymn book. Now, from my childhood, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But at the same time, I believe I'm too good to be saved. He came to save sinners. I'm not a sinner. So let him save those sinners. I'm all right. So even though mentally I had no doubt about the Lord Jesus as the Savior of the world, but I didn't believe in him. I thought I didn't need him. It wasn't until I was 14. And then I was seriously ill. At that time, such illness had no medicine. It depends on how you can pull through. I was very sick for months. I was dying. My pulses became irregular. And as a young man, of course, I didn't want to die. So I prayed. My father, of course, prayed for me, and the missionaries prayed for me. And after several months, I recovered. I went back to school. But when I went back to school, I had a natural sense, a natural feeling. And the feeling was, God really had recovered me. What can I do to show him my respect? So I was looking for something that I could do for him in order to repay him for his favor. And sure enough, a fellow student, classmate, came to me and said, could we organize some Christian meetings at school? Now that was my opportunity. So we began to organize prayer meeting at night. Once a week, we have prayer meeting at night at school. And those who live in the school, we try to get them to their prayer meeting, and we also welcome our teachers to join us. And I still remember how I led the prayer meeting. I wasn't saved. But that was easy. My father was a pastor. He had a big library. So I just went to his library, got a book on prayer, translated it into Chinese, then memorized it, and then gave my speech. How God answered prayer. And after that, I asked everybody to kneel down and pray. But unfortunately, nobody prayed. And some people began to laugh. Now, I seriously scolded them. I say, we were in the presence of God, and you shouldn't do that. That was how I led my first prayer meeting. And I preached too. On Friday, we gathered the student body who would like to come, and we preached to them. Again, I went to my father's library and chose a sermon from a famous American pastor at that time, Mr. Jowett. And I translated it into Chinese. It was called Noah's Ark. And then I went there and I preached. The only thing I regretted was I felt very good, but nobody praised me. Now that was my only regret. So, brothers and sisters, especially young people, you know how I tried to serve God before I was saved, as a kind of paying back my debt. But the glorious thing was, while I was outwardly very zealous for the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to prove my heart. Nobody talked to me. People felt that I was very religious, pious. But the Holy Spirit pointed his finger at me. He showed me that from my head to my feet, there was nothing good. Everything was wrong, was evil. Now, as a student, how much evil could you do in comparison with society? But under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I was so deeply convicted. Sometimes when I was alone, I wept. I was a sinner. But how could I be saved? Well, I know Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. So it should be the easiest thing for me. But somehow, salvation evaded me. For a whole year, I sought very earnestly. Whenever there was a big revival meeting, I was there. And we have such world-famous preachers coming, like Paul Rader, so forth. I heard them. And I went to the altars a number of times. But afterwards, nothing happened. This continued for a whole year. Until one summer in 1930, I went to a summer conference with the purpose of being saved. I went there. A few days passed. Nothing happened. That conference was led by three young men, new graduates from Asbury College. There was nothing new that I heard, because I knew all these things. So one morning, I was in the dormitory by myself. I do not know whether I was praying or I was talking to myself. That morning, I was talking with God. I said, God, I want to be saved. Why is it that I was not saved? People seem to come to the Lord very easily. But how come that I didn't get it? Then I remember some people said, you may be gospel hardened. Because you knew the gospel. You preached the gospel. You know too much. Well, I said, maybe I'm gospel hardened. So I told the Lord. I said, Lord, if you want to save me now. Otherwise, goodbye. That's it. And with that kind of determination, I went to the afternoon meeting. The preacher was Mr. Kirkpatrick, a young man. As he preached John on John 3:16, and I could memorize, repeat it very easily. I knew it all. There was nothing he said I didn't know. So nothing touched me. After the meeting, the preaching was over. As usual, he he asked people to kneel down. So everybody, hundreds of people there, we all knelt down. And then he began to call people to come to the altar. You know, I had been there so many times. So I didn't go because I thought it was useless. Then a preacher, a black people, he came and knelt by my side. And he didn't preach the gospel to me, but he urged me to go to the altar. Now, in order to be polite, I went there. I went to the altar. I tried to pray. I wept because of my sin. But the meeting was over. Nothing happened. I walked out. And when I was walking to the door, a preacher, Chinese, he stopped me. And he point blankly asked me a question. Are you saved? Now I suppose he must be noticing me. He thought I must be saved. Now I had to be honest. So I told him, I want to be saved. So he stopped me. Everybody left, just the two of us, in that big hall. Then he asked me, do you believe the Bible as the word of God? I say, from my childhood. Then he said, turn to 1 John, chapter 1, verse 7, and verse 9. Well, that's easy, because I knew my Bible. So I turned to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. And he said, you read it. Take away that pronoun. Put your name in it. And read it with your name in it. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and righteous. He will forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousnesses. So I read it with my name there, twice. Then he said, let's pray. So we knelt down. And I knew how to pray, so I started to pray. I began to tell the Lord all the sins that I could remember. Then I even told the Lord, Lord, you know, there are many sins I have forgotten, but you remember. Now I confess my sin. You are righteous and faithful. I have done my part. Now it is your part. I believe. If I die, I died upon you. That was my heart determination. After I prayed, I felt that heavy burden upon me for a whole year rolled away. Amen. There was such peace in my heart. I stood up. And the preacher asked me, are you saved? I said, I am. He said, how do you know? I said, I because there is such peace in my heart. He shook his head. No. Immediately, the word came. I say, I know I'm saved because God has said so. Amen. He said, that's right. Amen. Your emotion may change, but God's word is eternal. Thank God. He is very wise in leading people. Then he told me, you'll go out and tell someone right away how the Lord has saved you. I remember I went to my room, opened the Bible. It was 2 Peter, chapter 1. I read it. It was so different. I have read a Bible before, but that evening, when I read 2 Peter chapter 1, I felt every word spoke to me, as if my Father is talking to me. Thank God He changed my whole life. Now, in those days, whether you have a conference or a crusade, the last meeting is always on consecration. So a huge Chinese map was hung on the wall of the platform. And that preacher began to preach and said, God has saved you. If you are inspired, constrained by His love, you should give yourself to serve Him. You can come to the platform, point your finger to the place where you want to go to serve Him. Now, I was a young man of 15, just saved. So I was thinking, He loved me so much. I love Him. I want to prove my love to Him. I want to go to the furthest place, the most difficult place, to preach the gospel. So I march up to the platform and point my finger on Mongolia. Because to the Chinese, Mongolia is the furthest place. And I made it. It was real to me. I was in my senior in high school. I spent that year trying to gather all materials, information about Mongolia. I set my face towards Mongolia. And before I graduated from high school, I decided not to go to college. To me, it was a waste of 4 years. Actually, during the last year, senior high, after I was saved, with some other brothers and sisters in the school, we organized evangelistic bands, go to the villages to preach the gospel, to pray for the sick. And I still remember a man who died of meningitis, we all went into his house and put our hands all over his body and prayed for him, but he didn't arise. I was all on fire for the Lord. Whenever the Methodist Church had any gospel outreach, we young people were at the first line. I was standing outside the street and trying to pull people into the church. And I still remember a rickshaw was there, and the rickshaw man was there. So I began to talk to him, and of course he couldn't go into the gospel meeting. So I began to talk to him. He didn't want to listen. He put his hand on his over his ears, and I shouted loud into his ears. So I already chose the Bible school that I would go, because I was very active among the Christian community in Shanghai. I knew all about these Bible schools, their professors, some of them. So after I graduated, I talked to my father. I thought he would certainly be glad about it. But to my surprise, he said, no. He said, you go to college. After you finish college, I will send you to America to study theology. Because by that time, everybody knew that I would succeed my father. Now I was so disappointed. All my plan was smashed. But being a youngster, we learned to obey our parents. So I went to college. It was a Methodist college. Those professors were mostly missionaries. So I went to that college in another city. I lived in the dormitory. After I arrived there, I at once joined myself to all the Christian activities in the school and in the Methodist church nearby. But after a short period, I began to notice something wrong. I noticed that my professors, missionaries from this country, they did not believe the Bible as the Word of God. They did not believe Jesus is the Son of God. All they talk about was social, moral, political, all these things. When I tried to share my faith, I was cut off. It was a total surprise to me, because I thought every believer loved the Lord, believe Jesus as the Son of God, and believe in the Bible as the Word of God. Suddenly I was faced with such a situation. What could I do? I withdrew myself from all activities. I was alone. I knew there was only one way that I could keep my faith. So I spent lots of time in my dormitory. In my room, there were three people, students, in the same room. But I don't care. I spent time kneeling, reading the Bible in prayer. Fellow students going in and out talking, I don't care. I felt that was my lifeline. If I didn't do that, I cannot live. Thank God. It was during that time the Lord began to work in me. Formerly, I was too hot, too busy serving the Lord, as it were. But now I was in the icebox. I was cut off from all fellowship. And when I was in quietness, the Lord began to work. You know, after I was saved, some people began to talk to me about baptism. That is baptism by immersion. They told me that this is the only way, the biblical way of being baptized. I argued with them. I say, I was baptized when I was a baby. Some water sprinkled on my head. So how could I be baptized again? Then When the argument became hot, I said, when I was baptized as a baby, I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I couldn't dishonor his name. I refused to be baptized by immersion. But of course, I was reading the Bible. The more I read the Bible, the more I was convinced that this is the way the Bible teaches. But I couldn't do it. I remember one day I visited my friend. And again he mentioned this matter of baptism with me. I argue with you. No, I knew it in your heart that I would be baptized. But so I still argue with him and say, no. When I was baptized as a baby, that's it. And he finally gave me up and went to sleep. And I was sitting there alone. I began to pray. I said, Lord, I know I should be baptized by immersion. Believe and be baptized. When I was a baby, I didn't believe. My parents believed for me. That's not right. Now I have believed. I should be baptized to express my faith. I should be baptized by immersion, because that's the only way to show that I was buried, dead, buried, and risen with Christ. But I said, Lord, I couldn't do it. I love my father too much. He was a Methodist pastor. If the pastor's son got baptized by immersion, what would happen to my father? Oh, I said, Lord, I cannot do that. Wait until I finish school. I became independent. Then I promise you, I will be baptized. Suddenly, I heard a voice. It's almost audible. I don't know. Suddenly a voice came to me and said, he who loves his father and mother more than me cannot be my disciple. The word was so powerful. That settles it. So I went down from my friend's room, knocked the next door, because next door Brother Watchman Nee lived there. So I knocked the door, and Brother Watchman Nee opened the door. He knew me, of course, and said, what do you want? I said, I want to be baptized. He said, did your father know it? I said, no. But I must be baptized. So I was baptized the next day. Why did I mention this day? Because this is the beginning of how God began to open my understanding. The whole spiritual world began to be opened. It is not just baptism. It is more than that. You know, I read the Bible faithfully. But it seems as if the Bible was a closed book to me. It didn't speak to me. It didn't affect my life. I could go on as I used to be. But since that day, everything began gradually to open up. I remember after I was baptized, the next day was the Lord's Day. And they have the Lord's Supper. I joined with them at the Lord's table. I was so touched by the love of Christ. But then when I went back to school, I had a problem. The Methodist Church at the time had communion once a month. And I used to be very regular. And those who knelt by my side might be my professors. Then I said to the Lord, how could I take the Lord's Supper with people who did not believe in you, who do not believe in the Bible, who do not believe you are the Son of God? How could I do it? I couldn't. But everybody expected me to be there. My father was the pastor. What should I do? For a whole year, I used my own wisdom. Every time when communion came, I told my father of something, some engagement somewhere. So I escaped it. My father was very wise. He knew, but he didn't say a word. I tried to give excuses why I wasn't there. And as a matter of fact, I began to have two classmates who came to the Lord. And three of us will go to an empty schoolroom and break bread together. You know, I was trying to put my feet on two boats that are sailing further apart. I did that for a whole year. The reason why I mention these things is because I want to show you that the Lord's way is so different from our way. You can be saved. You can love the Lord. And you try to serve Him in your way. But the Lord's way is higher than our way. It is the narrow way that leads to life. It is the broad way that leads to destruction. So gradually the Lord began to change my whole outlook. He showed me that to serve Him is letting Him to work in me. to serve him have to follow his way, not my way. So gradually, my way of serving him began to fade away. Up to now, I have never been to Mongolia. He began to change my way altogether. He began in my junior in college. He began to raise up a few, seven of us. Two of my classmates and four in a Presbyterian hospital. We seven prayed and began to come together to break the bread. I remember the first time when we came together, seven of us. We wept before the Lord. His love overwhelms us. And then the Lord began to work. People got saved. Within a week, almost all the student nurses in that big hospital got saved. God began to work. And I was really before the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm trying to walk with my feet on two boats. But now, the time has come. I have to choose one. Whether I will go the denominational way to succeed my father, or whether I will go the narrow way, despised by the world. I cannot decide. But thank God. God sent a servant of the Lord to us. And his first message is on Luke 14. If you want to build a tower, lay the foundation and cannot complete it, you will be a laughing stock. If you want to go to fight with your enemy that came with 20,000 and you only want to use 10,000, then go and ask for peace. You need to sit down and count your cost before you start. And that will touch me. So after the meeting, and we ate together, and rested a while, I sat down there. I said, Lord, I want to count my cost in following you. I cannot go two ways. So I began to count my cost. The more I count my cost, the costlier it became. The enemy is trying to put everything, all kinds of things into my mind. I will be discharged from the university, I will be driven out of my home, and all these things began to crowd upon me. So I told the Lord, I couldn't do it. It's too costly. Your way is too costly. I couldn't do it. I saw of you. I cannot say whether I see it with my naked eyes or not. But I saw the Lord coming to me. He showed me his hands. And he said to me, I did all these for thee. What do you do for me? It melted me. I said, Lord, everything. My life, my blood, my everything. But that, did that settle it? No. I still struggle over it. For 3 days and three nights. I couldn't sleep at night. I went to school. I couldn't hear the lectures. I was struggling. But the Lord held me. Held me on what I have said. And after 3 days, it was settled. So I asked to see my father, have a talk with him. I told him what had happened to me. I told him a year ago I was baptized by immersion. He was hurt. Not because I was baptized by immersion, but because I didn't trust him. He said, if you wanted to be baptized by immersion, I will do it for you. My father was very understanding. He said, as long as you serve the Lord, even if you are not with me, it's fine. He gave me perfect liberty. He never questioned where I went, whom I was with. Of course, behind me, he did find out. But he never said anything. He gave me perfect freedom. At that time, I was staying at home. I was so busy because the Lord began to raise up a group of people, people coming from all directions. And I was the one who did everything. I opened the door, welcoming people. I played the organ. I prayed. I preached. I closed the meeting. I did everything. And I visited. So oftentimes I came home very late. My father never said a word. Because of this, it caused big turmoil in that city of Suzhou. All the denominations joined together. President of the university, principal of high school, churches, everything, hospitals. They gathered together for 3 days to discuss us. We are about 4 group. It caused lots of problems. And they openly accused my father. They say, you have such a son, the troubler. And my father was very wise. He said, he used the word of Gamaliel. He said, if it is a man, it will disappear. If it is a God, don't touch it. He never told me that. It's other people who told me that. Thank God. This is the way that He wants me to serve Him. His way is higher than our way. Now, young people, the reason I gave this part of my testimony, it is because to show you that He is not only the one who saves you, He is the one who will use you. Not in your way, but in His way. And all we need to do is to learn to submit ourselves totally to Him and allow Him to lead us. And I believe if He did it in me, the worthless one, He can do it in every one of us. It may not be God will call you out to serve Him as a preacher or whatever you call it, but we are all called to serve according to the grace and gift that God has given to each. And let us be faithful to Him, because He who calls us is faithful. Amen. And He will perform it. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, You are worthy. You are the potter, we are the clay. You are able to make us vessels to honor, that Your name may be magnified. We do commit all those who are here this evening into Your hand. And may Thy will for each and every one of us be gloriously fulfilled. Amen. And it is all by Thy grace. Amen. We ask in Thy precious name.